Hello, and welcome to the MRBC podcast. Today, we'll be looking at how we can make our lives count for Jesus Christ. Let's join Pastor Russ Marin for today's message.
Now, I want you to look at Mark chapter 8, verse 36. Mark chapter 8, verse 36. I'm going to begin reading at verse 34. It says, "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and for the gospel's, the same shall save it." Now watch verse 36. "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Today, I want to preach on making your life count. Making your life count. Revelation 4, verse 1, or verse 11. Revelation 4, 11. "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." God has created everything. Everything. From nothing. And for his pleasure, they were and are created. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. "All things were created by him and for him." All things. Every individual in here were created by Jesus Christ and for Jesus Christ. For our lives to count, to be successful, to have a successful life, our lives must please Jesus Christ. Must please Jesus Christ. Now let me ask you a question. What is the worth of a soul? I think a soul is worth more than everything else the world contains. You realize one soul, one of these young people up here, is worth more, their soul is worth more than all the diamond mines in the world, all the gold mines in the world, all the great buildings of the world, all the jets and rockets and everything in the world. One of these young people were worth more than all the world contains. How about the worth of a soul in the view of hell? In Luke 16, the rich man died and he looked up in hell, being in torments. And now he's been there for over 2,000 years. And he would give everything, everything, even for a drop of water. But what would he give to escape hell? He'd give it all. He'd give this earth. He'd give everything he ever owned. He'd give everything. What's a soul worth in the view of Calvary? Well, Jesus Christ died for just one person. I mean, he would have done it for just one person. Heaven. heaven gave up its most precious jewel, Jesus Christ, to come down from heaven and live here on earth. Question, how will you and I explain to Jesus Christ why we never got anybody saved? No one ever got saved. If you have never won someone to Christ, how will you explain that to Jesus Christ? He came down out of heaven. He died on the cross. Those souls are worth all the world contains, more than the world contains. And how will you or I explain to Christ, I never won anyone. I never told anyone. How about the worth of a soul in the view of heaven itself? You know, when I go to heaven, I'm excited to see my mother again. I'll see my mother. In heaven, I'll never grow old. I'll never grow tired. I'll never be poor. In heaven, I will never say a sad goodbye. You will be there. Do you not want your loved ones to be there? People that love you and you love, don't you want them to be there? A lost man, you take all his fun, his pleasure, his money, his entertainment, all the things he had. A lost man. He did all those things for his body, but apparently nothing for his soul. And you know what? Someday his body will die. And everything he's done for his body will be of no value. But the fact that he did nothing for his soul will lead him to an eternal hell. The lost man will miss heaven. The lost man, many wives are saved and husbands are not saved. The lost man will not only miss heaven, he'll miss his wife, ever seeing her again. He'll miss, maybe he had a stillborn baby or a baby die or a child die. He'll miss that baby when he misses heaven. The worth of a soul in the view of eternity. Eternity is endless. It's dateless. It's timeless. It's measureless. 1 million years from now, the lost man will still be in hell with another million and another million years to go after that. The worth of a soul in the view of death. In the view of death. Death is certain. Death is nothing more than a vapor. Life is a vapor that appears for a short time and vanishes away. Someone here, unexpectedly, suddenly, could die tonight. In the view of the imminency of death, it could be at any moment, is what's a soul worth in the view of death? If you hesitate longer, you may very well lose the opportunity to be in heaven. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Now, you may have trouble with this. I don't know. I'm going to say this. Does your life count? Are there things happening in your life that will have eternal value? If you have rejected Christ and you will not trust Christ as Savior, you're unsaved. Most likely, if you're unsaved, you've won no one to Christ. You've not won anyone or led anyone to Christ. You've not trusted Christ as Savior. So in a sense, in eternity, your life does not count. Whether you are here 30 years or 50 or 70 or 90, all said and done, your life has not counted. It's been of no value eternally. No value. Live here 60, 70 years and no value, of no value. I'll tell you, there'll be no scrapbooks in heaven, in hell. There'll be no scrapbooks in hell. There's not going to be any good memories in hell. There's not going to be, boy, we're going to get together and play cards together. You know, you hear guys say, I want to go to hell because that's where all my buddies are going to be. That may be where your buddies are going to be, but I guarantee you, you don't want to be there. You don't want to be drinking with your buddies in hell. You do not want to be there. No good memories, no fond memories, no getting out. There's no end to it. There's no second chance after you go. So, now listen to me. An angry life, some people live an angry life, they're angry about something, wasted. A Christless life, a life without Christ, is wasted. A bitter life, bitter about something that's happened, wasted. A selfish life, wasted. A sinful life is wasted. 1 Timothy, verse chapter 1, says, Jesus Christ came to save sinners. That was His purpose, to save sinners. And He will be glorified through you trusting Him as Savior. And He came, created you for His pleasure. And if you refuse to trust Christ, He's not glorified through that. He has no pleasure in that. He doesn't have the pleasure in the death of the unsaved. Here's a question. Will there be one soul in heaven as a result of your life? Will there be somebody? Will there be someone? Will there be a small child that you've led to Christ? Will there be an older man or woman that you've led to Christ? Will there be anybody in heaven? Now, I'm going to give you some examples here. Will there be anybody in heaven that will say, I heard the gospel as a result of your testimony? They heard about how you got saved. I heard your testimony and I came to Christ. Will there be anybody in heaven say, I got saved because you wrote me a letter? I got saved because you put a gospel tract in a bill and sent it to Toledo Edison, and I opened it up, and there's a gospel tract in there, and I read it, and I came to Christ because you communicated with me. Will there be anybody in heaven that will say, I came to heaven, I got saved because you gave me the gospel. You explained it to me. Will there be anybody in heaven because you gave them the gospel? Will there be anybody in heaven because they've heard you sing a gospel message? Will there be anybody in heaven because they came to see you get baptized and give a testimony that you trusted Christ as Savior? Will there be anybody in heaven because they saw you work hard and glorify Christ through your work? And people knew you work hard because you're a Christian. Will there be anybody in heaven because our church has a special day and they were invited and they heard the gospel and you invited them? Listen, will there be anybody in heaven because they came to your funeral and someone else gives your testimony and said, this, I know they're in heaven because I heard them pray and trust Christ as Savior. I know they were saved. Will there be anybody hear your testimony at your funeral? Will there be anybody in heaven because of your giving? Churches, missionaries, they function through our giving. And will there be anybody in heaven because our church continued to preach and give the gospel, and you help provide that? And you know, only God could do this, but only God can tell us where those dollars went and where those dimes and nickels went and how they were divided and who they got to. But whether it's our church or missionaries, whoever it is, their responsibility is to give the gospel. Will there be anybody in heaven because they heard the gospel as a result of our giving? Will there be anybody in heaven because when they looked down at you on a surgery table, you said, "Will you pray with me?" And you pray. You pray with those people that are going to operate on you. I pray they're having a good day. But you pray. God bless these people. Love them. They have families. I want you to bless them, Lord. Will there be anybody get saved because of that? Will there be anybody in heaven because you cried, you shed tears over them, and you begged them to come to Christ as Savior? Have you ever begged anybody, pleaded with anybody to come to Jesus Christ as Savior? Have you ever handed anybody a tract, said, "Here, I'd like to give this to you. I'd like you to read this. I'd like you to come to Christ as Savior"? Will there be anybody in heaven? Paul said he knocked on doors day and night in tears. Will there be anybody in heaven that can say, "I got saved the day you knocked at my door. I prayed and trusted Christ as Savior. I took my little son out years ago. I knocked on a door down here. Dog went crazy the entire time I gave the gospel. And finally I said to this woman, 'Will you trust Christ as Savior?' And she said, 'Yes.' I said, 'Will you pray with me right now?' And she said, 'Yes.' I said, 'Will you bow your head with me right now and pray?' She said, 'Yes.' And we bowed our heads, and the moment I started to pray, the dog shut up. The dog never barked again, didn't whimper or anything. And she prayed, and as Christ came into her heart, she got baptized about a year later. And will there be anyone in heaven because you knocked at their door and gave them the gospel? Will there be anybody in heaven because you are faithful? You know, your neighbor gets up every Sunday morning, gets a newspaper, does this, that, or whatever, and he sees you every Sunday come out of your house carrying your Bible on your way to church. Then he sees you come back a couple hours later. He sees your faithfulness. And because of your faithfulness, somewhere along the line, he'll come to Jesus Christ as Savior. Will there be anybody in heaven because they saw the way Christ will forgive them by the way you forgive? You forgive, and they were drawn to Christ. Will there be anybody in heaven because you actually gave an invitation? You asked them, "Will you pray with me? Will you come to Christ?" Will there be anybody in heaven because of your obedience? You're being obedient to Christ. Listen, I think about this with my own mother. Will there be anybody in heaven because your child, who you trained and you prayed for, because your child led them to Christ? You know what I'm saying? My mother was more instrumental in my salvation than any other person. And are there people in heaven because she made sure that I got saved? And she asked me week after week after year after year to get in church, to come to church, to be in church. She sent me on a missions trip. She took me to revivals. And she did everything in her power to get me saved. She prayed. She forgave me. She trusted me. She gave me Christ. Will there be anybody in heaven that can say to my mother, I'm glad you trained your child up to love God. Are you doing that? Now listen, if there is a preacher that does not give the gospel, it is a wasted life. He may be saved, I don't know. But if there's a preacher not giving the gospel, it is a wasted life. If there is a teacher anywhere on this earth that is not teaching the gospel and giving it on occasion, sharing with their students that about Christ and salvation, the good news, it is a wasted life. If there is a doctor who's dealing with hundreds and hundreds of people and never giving the gospel, never winning anyone to Christ, it will be a wasted life. If there is a millionaire that could take one, two, three, many churches and greatly help them, and they are not giving it to the gospel purpose, it's wasted. A salesman, a writer, a counselor. Can you imagine a counselor sits down with people every day dealing with problems but never gives the gospel, never gives the ultimate answer to success in life, to pleasing God? Is wasted time. You remember when the Jews coming out of Egypt walked up to Kadesh Barnea and God said, you can have all this land, this promised land. And they sent the 12 spies into the land to look it out, check it out. And they came back and Joshua and Caleb said, we can take it right now. And all the other 10 said, no, the giants are there. We will be like grasshoppers. And all the people got discouraged and didn't go. And because they didn't go, they spent the next 40 years in the wilderness. And the answer is it was 40 wasted years. 40 wasted years. I would beg you today to recognize a life that counts will cost you something. You may say, well, and I can say this, I only have 5 years left. I only have a few years left. Most of my life is over. Well, then you know what's necessary for me to do? Do what I am best able to do and do it with all my heart, as long as God lets me do it. I want to read you a poem that was written by John Newton. John Newton was a slave trader that got saved. And after he got saved, he confessed to some horrible sins. He wrote the song, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. He wrote this poem, and I would think that all of us could relate to this. He said, I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I want to be. I am not what I hope to be in another world. But still, I am not what I once used to be. And by the grace of God, I am what I am. So you know, in Philippians 3:13, the Apostle Paul says, I'm not what I ought to be. I haven't apprehended. But this one thing I do is I put the past behind me and I press towards the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ. I shudder when I think of the times that the Holy Spirit has spoken to me and said, witness to this person. And I have said, I don't think they want to hear it. Or I don't want to do it right now. Or I have other things I've got to do. I shudder at the times that I had a chance to witness and I turned it down. I want to beg you, I want to encourage you, make your life count. Make sure you're saved, and then make sure that you are in some way telling other people about Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit us on the web at www.monclovabaptist.org.